Revelation 17, verse 17, it says that for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, a lot of Calvinists will take verses like this and they will try to say that basically, they won't put it as plain as I will, but they'll basically teach that we're puppets on strings and God is up here making this person do this thing and He's making... That is not how God works. When it says God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will, there's a way that God operates, and you need to have other Bible verses to see this thing. Now, we talked about this subject a little bit last time out of Ezekiel 14, how whenever you read this Bible, if you don't read it the way God would have you read it and with a pure heart and a believing mind, believing what He says over your own self, God will show you or allow you to see out of it what you want to see out of it, out of your heart. Now, that's Ezekiel 14. Now I want to show you a couple other things about that phrase, God hath put in their hearts. Let me show you something here out of John. John chapter number 13. Show you something about this thing here. You got to understand where we're at. The book of Revelation is a prophecy concerning things that are going to take place once we're gone. We've established that fact, even though Revelation 1:3 says the prophecy of this book, the whole book's a prophecy. You got to understand they're churches now, but there's going to be churches or assemblies that are here after we're gone, and they're going to need mail that's just as relevant to them today as we have us to us today. That's like the Bible has been around long before we were here, and it's going to be around long after we're gone, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So just like we've got mail directly addressed to us today, people who are here in dispensations after we are gone, and after this one, this present dispensation of grace is over, there are going to be dispensations after this. You got to understand, after the catching away of the body of Christ, you've got a great tribulation that's coming. That's a dispensation, even though it's a short one. Then you got a 1,000-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a dispensation. At the end of that millennial reign, Satan will be loosened for a little season. He's going to go through and deceive many people there that are in that kingdom, and he's going to come up to Jerusalem, and the Lord is going to destroy him with fire, according to Revelation 20, right then. Not going to be a big battle. It's just going to destroy him right then. You then guess what's going to happen? The great white throne judgment is going to happen after that. Then you're going to have to, and I'm just fast-forwarding through these things. That's all this stuff is mentioned in Revelation 20. Then after the great white throne judgment, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the Bible says in Isaiah 9, the increase of His government shall not end. That means it's going to go on and on and on and grow and grow and grow. And all this creation, all this whole, everything that He has made, both in heaven and in earth, and all these solar systems, everything, you got to understand it had a purpose, but He's put that whole thing on pause because the heavens are not clean in His sight currently. But when He disposes of all that sin and all those things after that last judgment, you know what's going to happen? The thing's going to increase forever. Now, we're not going to be a part of that great white throne judgment as far as our sins. We got the judgment seat of Christ that happens after the catching away of the body of Christ, and our sins are already judged at Calvary. But you got people, you got to understand, there's got to be a judgment for everybody in other dispensations, and there's got to be a judgment that covers those who didn't trust the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got all these things that are happening, and you got verses that go to that. Now, we're looking at things that's going on in the book of Revelation, and you got to understand things in that program that don't belong to us. And when it talks about God fulfilling it, putting their hearts, there's going to be kings who are listening to doctrines of devils. And they're going to be getting down in their hearts, just like today. There's doctrines of devils today, and Satan controls the hearts by doing that. But if you're in John chapter 13, that little phrase, put in their hearts... Come on in here, Papa. Hey, we're in Revelation 17 and John 13. Now, if you'll look at John 13, it said, and supper being ended, the devil having now, watch this little phrase, put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, God allows things to happen. And here's the devil, and he puts into the heart of Judas to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you realize, though, that men get things in their hearts and they have the free will choice? God gives man a free will, whether he's going to accept or reject whatever that thing is that said. You take the devil, and how did he get into, at the very start, how did he get into the heart of Adam and Eve? He started off and he said, "Yea, hath God said." And he made her question the Word of God. Now, here he is, here's Judas, which we know Judas wasn't a regular man. It said Judas was a devil, but I'm still using that to show you something. The heart is receptive to information.
Yes.
And you've got information from God that's given to him from his book, or you've got information from the devil that comes from the course of this world. Now, if you go to college and you take college courses, those courses are there to teach you doctrine or information. Okay, so what happens is you've got information coming to you that all through this world, we're in this world right now, and information is coming to you either based on God's Word or based on the course of this world, and you have a free will choice to either say, "I'm going to accept this right information," or "I'm going to accept or reject this wrong information." And whatever information you receive into your heart will control your heart and your mind. You look, you're going to behave the way you believe. If you honestly believe the stove is hot, you're not going to touch that stove unless you're about to have crazy. But if you don't believe the stove is hot, you're going to touch it. That's a simple illustration to show you something. That's why you have to believe correctly according to the Word of God. Because look, you take all these people and you got these preppers. You know, and they believe we're going to go through the Great Tribulation, which is nonsense. But anyway, here they are. They're building these underground dugouts and all this type of stuff. Let me tell you know what I tell them? I've already prepared. My soul and my heart is ready and I'm prepared. There's nothing wrong with you having an underground dugout if you want to. There's nothing wrong with you having root cellars and all that stuff. I believe all that stuff's wonderful. But at the same time, what's your motive for having it? Is it for health and you're trying to take care of yourself and I understand all that stuff? Or are you saying you're fixing to go through a time period you're really not going to go through? See, that's what I'm saying. You have to understand where you are and what you really believe. Now, the devil has got these kings and they're believing something that's wrong. And it's based on the devil's information. And I want to show you a couple of verses here. Look at Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51 and verse number 20. And you got to understand too that these people that are in power are in a dangerous position. Do you know that the devil is very, very involved in wanting to sway the minds of people who have power? That he's always been involved in that thing, and so they need to be careful. Which we know most of them aren't believers. There's a few left, I guess. But at this time, you got to understand what's going on here. Jeremiah 51, verse number 20. It says, "This is the Lord speaking here about a ruler, and ultimately it's the devil working through this ruler here." And he says concerning the devil in this text, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee I will break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid." You see all these things? Watch what it goes down to say. Look at verse 24. "And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion. In your sight, saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain." There's those mountains. It's a ruler. You know what he's saying? All right, when it said God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, these men, these kings and things like that are following the devil, and they're all against the Lord. And the Lord said, "Hey, the devil is my battle axe." The Lord will allow the devil to destroy all those people who are following the devil. And he calls him his weapons of war. Now that's amazing right there to me. But you say, well, how is he going to fulfill his will? Why? Because we're going to read these other verses and show you that God will allow the free will of man free will, the man's free will don't contradict with the sovereignty of God. A lot of these people talk about the sovereignty of God. God don't make anybody do anything. But He's so much God that even though men are making free will choices, He can allow their free will that they chose because of His foreknowledge to accomplish what He wanted them to accomplish. Okay? So it says, look, let me show you another one. Look at Jeremiah chapter 50. Just back up one thing. Jeremiah chapter number 50 and verse number 23. The Bible says, how is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is, watch this, look at the context, Babylon become a desolation among the nations. What were we just reading about in Revelation? A future restored Babylon, and the Lord says that's a hammer. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to allow those people who yield to the devil and his program to destroy all the rest of the nations. Now, here's another thing I want you to see. Look at Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, we'll put these things together and I'll go to Psalm with you. And maybe we'll see putting these verses together in the context, what's going on. Isaiah chapter 10. And while you're turning to Isaiah 10, I'm going to start with the context here. Verse 5, Isaiah 10, 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger. See what he's calling them? The rod of mine anger. And the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like mire of the streets. That's a rough picture right there. Tread them down just like mire. What he's saying is people who are coming against the Lord and His program, the Lord said He's literally going to use this man just like a rod to punish those people who follow the devil. And it's not because God made them do it. He's saying, look, these people are getting what's coming to them who wanted to follow the devil. Okay? And it says, watch verse 7. This is a strange verse. Howbeit he meaneth not so, nor doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. He meaneth not so. You know what that tells me? A lot of these people think, a lot of these guys who do all this evil, they just, in their heart, they just know what they're doing. This guy right here, he's going to be a lot like the Apostle Paul before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was persecuting Christians and thinking he was doing God a service.
That's right.
This guy right here, he's in his own mind, he's thinking he's doing the right thing. His mind is so twisted and so demented. Do you know a lot of these people brave some of this crazy stuff and they think us Christians are crazy because we go by the Bible. They think we're crazy and they want to do us harm. But the Bible said right here, even this evil man who's going to be in prophecy, and he says he meaneth not so. A lot of them think they're doing just fine. They think they're doing just right. Why? Because their mind is demented. You may want to keep prayer here. So you know what happens? He's put it in their heart. You know what that means? He allows their heart to do what their heart wants to do, and it accomplishes their will. I'll give you another verse for it. I like to show you all these things to prove what I'm saying. Look at Psalm chapter 76. Psalm chapter 76. This man's wanting to execute wrath and stuff like that. And they think, well, I wonder why I'm doing this and stuff like that. And a lot of people, you know, they wonder about these dictators and stuff. A lot of these old crazy dictators, these people just think that they're doing right when their mind is messed up. They mean not so. Just like this evil man here, in his mind, he thinks he's doing right. A lot of these dictators, you ever notice how they always got to have something that they think's good in their life? You ever notice a lot of them, they really like dogs. Like they just, it'll be something about it, and they'll just really, nothing wrong with loving a dog, but here's a man who's murdering people and killing people, but they like puppies. Don't treat puppies bad, you know. They gotta have something to reconcile it in their mind, but they're evil. Okay, well you get this guy right here, and everybody who follows him, they're all evil, and they think they've got something in their mind, they think they're doing right. Why? They gotta have something to soothe their conscience. Okay, Psalms chapter number 76. And I want you to see, let's see, I just lost my verse there. It's in Psalm 76. Let me look at it here. Psalm 76, verse number 10 says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. You know what happens? The wrath of man is going to praise God. Ultimately speaking, all these people are saying, well, we're going to fight and we're going to kill and we're going to destroy and everything else, and they don't realize their wrath is accomplishing what God wanted to accomplish. God don't even have to do anything. He just allows them to destroy their self. You know one of the scariest things about this heart right here? We've heard sermons and stuff like that about God's going to do this to you and God's going to do that to you. You got to understand that if you don't walk with the Lord and walk on the paths that He's told you, because the lamp is Thy word is a lamp on my feet and a light on my path. Your own heart, if you go your own way, you'll destroy yourself. You know that's why He said over in Galatians, don't bite and devour each other and stuff like that. You know, if you don't go by God's word and how to control your tongue and how to treat others and how to speak and stuff like that, we'll destroy. We'll bite. We'll just look. God don't have to do anything to us. If we don't go by His word, this church would destroy itself. We'll bite and devour each other. You know what? A world that's on the course of this world, the course of this world is headed to destruction. So you know what happens? If we go with the course of this world instead of the course of the Word of God, we will naturally get right in that course of this world. And guess what? You'll destroy your life. Yeah, your soul saved. But let me tell you something. The course of this world will destroy everything you have, and it don't care anything about it. The devil hates people so much that if he's allowed to, here's Job. You read the book of Job. Job was a man that loved the Lord and eschewed evil. Anything he could find that was evil, he tried to get away from it. And you know what? The devil got permission. The first thing he did was destroy everything he had. That's how much the devil hates you and everything else that you're connected to. If he got permission, he'd destroy everything you had. You know what that lets me know? Lord, I want to walk as close to you as possible. Why? Because without walking with the Lord, you get out of here in this world, and this world will naturally destroy it, because the world is here to destroy. That's why people say, well, God's going to do this to me. Don't look at God like that. Look at God as your protector, your strong tower, your refuge, your strength, everything else. Why? Because you can't get through this world without going through it with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you need His righteousness. You need His strength. You don't have enough wisdom. You need His wisdom. Who's He had all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You don't have the everything necessary that you need to go through this world on your own. That's why we rely on Him and His strength 100%. Because the more you rely on Him and His strength, you can get through things with Him working in and through you. But you know what happens? This world says, well, I can do this. And they make flesh their arm, and before long they start faltering, faltering, faltering. And you know what happens? You do just like these people right here. They think, I'm not really meaning to hurt anybody. Yeah, but hurting all kinds of people. You know what happens if we don't even study our Bible correctly? We say, I'm not going to hurt anybody. Yeah, but if you start telling people stuff and you hadn't studied your Bible, you're hurting people. You're teaching them false doctrine.
Right.
And here you got preachers nowadays who they'll tell you, if you ask them, you say, you ever even read your Bible through one time? I never read it through. Okay, then sit down and learn a little bit, and then tell somebody something after you learn. Well, look, we're not going to learn at all in this world. Y'all know that. But there ought to be a time where you're sitting there praying and trying to get some wisdom from God. That's like with me. I'll just be honest with you. There's a lot of stuff in that Bible, a lot of words I can't pronounce. But in this modern society, what we've got, there's no excuse for not going through your Bible. Well, I've got Alexander Scorby, and I can turn him on and follow along through there. And a lot of that stuff I have trouble with, I can listen to that man read it and read it correctly and pronounce it. That stuff's there to help us. In our modern generation, everybody, at least in your lifetime, you ought to be able to at least go through the Bible, if nothing else, listening to another man reading it. Why? Because we need to be familiar with the Scriptures, not for our own personal gain, if nothing else, so we can get close to the Lord, so we can help other people. And say, you know, when somebody tells you something that's false, you can say, no, I was reading about that the other day, and that's not correct. Because y'all, people need our help. We're living in a society now, and we were talking about it over in the men's meeting, with so much information coming through to us, so much stuff coming to us every day. Do you realize how families can get destroyed through false doctrine? Can you imagine some of these people who think that they have to keep their salvation and teaching a little child? You imagine teaching children, hey, If you don't live just right, you might lose it any day now. If you don't, y'all, I'm just so thankful that I don't have to walk around every day thinking, you know what, any minute, if I say something wrong, if I do something wrong, the Lord's just going to cast me aside. That's not the Bible. That Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and I thank God for that. I need that. Now, going back to the text, I know I chase rabbits a little bit. Going back to the text, you know what happens? These men follow the devil. And in following the devil, their heart is not right, and God uses their free will to accomplish His goal. And He don't make them do it. Alright, so now we go back to Revelation. And it says over here, in verse number 18, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." So we don't have to guess what the woman is. I've got books at the house and they say the woman's this, that, and other thing. No, but the Bible says it's that great city. And it's just that simple. There's going to be a city be so great and so powerful that, according to prophecy, that it's going to literally be the most powerful city in the world. And y'all, that's happened down through the years. Y'all, all these things right now, you see some of these cities becoming so powerful. You ought to get online and look at cities like Dubai. There's things in this world, y'all, if you don't think there's pictures of what could happen, you wait till one of these days. They get can you imagine the wealth? It's already here through like these Saudi oil companies and stuff like that. Those guys are the real wealthy people. You think Bill Gates has got money and George Soros and some of them guys, those Saudi princes have got money. Yeah. But that's no match for once they get a one world currency and a one world system where if you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. Okay? Well, you imagine on every single purchase, they get a percentage. That system will get a percentage of every single purchase. Overnight, they'll become trillionaires. Overnight. And that system's going to be so rich, and that great city will rule over. And it'll be a religious, commercial, one world system ruling over everything. And they'll have more power than you can ever imagine. And I always say, thank God I don't have to see that. Because that's the wrath of God's going to be shown in that time. And the Bible said we're not appointed to wrath in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. So, the Bible can't contradict. Now, chapter 18, verse 1 says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power." And look, I know there's an argument over this angel, and I'm not going to argue over it. A lot of people say this is the Lord Jesus Christ, but it says having great power. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has all power.
That's right.
All power. He's all powerful. Alright, and it says, "And the earth was lightened with His glory." Well, the only reason He's got glory there is because when Babylon is destroyed, it makes room, because the evil's destroyed, it makes room now that the earth can be full of this glory. And so you got this in prophecy. I'll tell you what, the best one probably quickly, Ezekiel 43, verse number 2. It says, I'll start with verse number 1 for those of you wanting to turn. It says, "Afterward He brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with His glory." Now, you got prophecies concerning that, and one of these days, the earth is going to be there, and He's going to dwell. Let me just read verse 7. It says, "And He said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall be the house of Israel, no more defile, neither they nor their kings." Remember we read about those kings? It says, "by their whoredom," that matches what we just read, "nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places." Dead carcasses. You know what you're seeing right there? He's making way so He can come down and rule and reign on planet Earth with His people Israel. Now, we're going to take those heavenly places, and we've talked about that, but that because we're used, the body of Christ is used to reconcile the heavens to God, and Israel, the nation of Israel, is used to reconcile the earth. You got those two programs all through the Bible. Now, it says in verse 2, "And He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, I just want to give you a contrast here. Look at that where it says habitation. I want you to see a contrast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, between what that demonic system has and what we have today. That Bible tells you that it had become the habitation of devils. That's what birds are, they picture there. But Ephesians chapter 2, I love this verse right here. When I seen that verse, when I seen that word habitation, I know you know where I'm going, y'all. But in Ephesians 2, verse 22, it says, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God." How? Through the Spirit. See, they got unclean spirits over there, and the Bible said they're a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Okay, those unclean spirits, you know what they do? They cage them in. They trap you. It's bondage. Okay, well with us, we're a habitation of God, and we got freedom, we got grace, we got glory because of our habitation through the Spirit of God. That's our habitation. Now, you take a creature's habitat. All right, wherever their habitat is, that's like an alligator's habitat is a swamp. Okay, well you got our habitat is through our habitation is through the Spirit. That's where we live at. We're able to have access to God because of the Spirit, and we've got a habitat. Well, look, we're not just bound to this earthly realm. You know what the Bible says? We're seated with Him in heavenly places, even though my body's here. That's how come when I read that Bible, I can get grace and I can get peace and I can get comfort and things like that. Why? Because my habitat is up there with God through the Spirit. But with them, the Bible said their habitat is the cage of every unclean, hateful bird. You know what evil spirits do? They put you in bondage. Mm-hmm. You hear this type of stuff, and I'll tell y'all, I hope and pray that over time, some of the stuff that's been preached around here can be undone. Because a lot of this stuff, these people, you know, women can't wear makeup, and women got to have long hair, and women got to have dresses, and all this, and men can't have beards, and here I am, I got me a beard. You know, they just make stuff up that's not in the Bible. So you know what happens? All that stuff puts people in bondage. If it's not found in the Word of God, you know, you hear, well, people's been divorced before, they can't serve God. That's not in the Bible.
That's right.
The Bible says God divorce. Give a bill of divorcement to the nation of Israel. And I guarantee you nobody tell God to stop preaching. You know what you have? You've got a lot of people that make a lot of stuff up that's just not in the Bible. And you may have to keep her over there, little sweetheart. She's so cute, you can't hardly. But see, what you have is you got a picture right there of what happens with it. The Bible said we've not received the spirit of bondage. How you can tell something is bondage is if it's not in the Bible and it's not addressed to you, and somebody tries to put that down on you, that will hold you, and that's a cage, and that is not right. That's bondage. The stuff under the law is not directly to you. That's like you got some people now say, well, y'all don't, you know, there's churches right now where the pastor works. You know what they've done? They've decided to meet on Tuesdays and on Saturdays. Well, that's all they can do right then. Well, you know what? It's not a command in the Bible that you have to meet on Sunday.
That's right.
Why? Every day is a holy day with the Lord. We don't observe these specific holy days. Right. Some preachers can't do like what we're doing here. What I'm saying is there's a lot of people who try to put their rules and their regulations on you. So you know what you have? You got a system that's going to be coming up in this time. This completely rich, utterly rich, got all these delicacies and everything else, and people are trapped by it. You know what it says? If you don't take the mark, you can't buy or sell, do this, and it's going to cage them in. You know what religion does? Religion cages you in.
Yep.
You know what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? You got freedom in Him to live. Look, the grace of God allows me to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I get to live for the Lord Jesus. I don't have to. I get to come to church. I get to read my Bible. I get to pray. It's not a burden on me. It's not a burden on me to live for the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. You know why? Because I've got freedom in Him. Now, it says these unclean spirits, where it says every. All right, here's some things about unclean spirits. I'm gonna take you through this with a little bit of time we have. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. It said every. It says the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. I want to take you through maybe this week and may have to finish it next week, some unclean spirits mentioned in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 12. It says in verse number 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." That's unclean. This world has a spirit about it, but it says, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are, how's this? Watch this. Freely given. Freely given to us of God. He don't make you pay for it. He's already paid for it. Ain't that a blessing?
Yes.
That's like the Word of God. It's freely given to you. My grace is freely given. Salvation is freely given. It's a free gift. That's all through the Word of God. But you know what the world does? The world will make you pay for things. You know, you watch these false prophets, and they can't preach a sermon without making you pay for something. Titus and I were watching a guy the other day, and he said, "I'm going to present to you the gospel." And Titus can tell you what that... He gets up here, and he kind of whips everybody up, and he said, "We're going to turn in the Bible." And he gets over and he says, "Now, first thing I want you to know is, if you buy my book... And in my book, I will go through this thing, and it's about 50, it's like 55 pages or something like that. Do you remember how many pages? Was it 55? Something, but it is a book about that thick. And he said, "If you'll get my book, it's a step-by-step process of how you can know the gospel." And I thought to myself, that guy, right? I wish I had a phone number on that. I'd say, "I'm about to get in the flesh." I'd like to call that guy. Let me tell you something. You are a crook. Why? Because he's up there and he never gave the gospel out.
That's right.
You know what that is? That's that spirit of the world. They want you to have to buy it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to buy nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ paid it in full on Calvary.
Right.
And anybody starts giving you that stuff, you have to pay for this and pay for this other thing, and you go to some of these places, which we take up an offering. It's an offering. If you want to give, give. If you don't, that's fine. But you know what we do? We pass around. If you want to put something in the plate, fine. But if you don't, that's fine. You get some of these places, and I've seen them. And so, nope, y'all just reach deeper down in your pockets. We're going to pass them again. And man, I've seen some of these meetings where they'll pass that plate around two or three times. You know what that is? That's not free. That's robbing you. And that stuff goes on right around here within driving distance. You know, you're going to be cursed with a curse. You've robbed God. That's under the law. Malachi 3. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, "As you have purposed in your heart, let him give." You know what that is? You know what that is? Some people aren't able to give as much as other people. Some people don't make what other people make and things like that. Some people can only give so much, and it's as it's purposed in their heart, and the Lord knows the hearts. And if you don't preach that, that's the spirit of the world trying to put you in bondage. You know what I found out? People will give more whenever they're giving freely anyhow. You don't have to tell them what this, that, and other. What, that's the spirit of the world. I'm just trying to show you a couple of these spirits. Here's one more, and I know we've running out of time, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Here's a familiar one. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." There's the world's course. "According to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." It's now working. You know what? He's got a spirit that causes people to want to disobey. No final authority, no rule. You know what? The Bible teaches you that once you trust Jesus Christ, He places His Spirit on the inside of you. And you know what the Spirit of God desires and wants to do? It wants to do what the Word of God says.
That's right.
And the spirit of disobedience is when we read something in that Bible and we know it's directly to us. And I tell you, my chapter, there's things in chapter Romans chapter 12 I have issues, my flesh has issues with. And when my flesh reads that, the flesh says, "No, not that." But the Spirit of God on the inside of me says, "No, you need to obey that. And you need to put the flesh down and you need to die daily and you need to do what the Word of God says." Now, you know what that is? That spirit of disobedience is there trying to get you to not do what the Word of God says. And it's a constant thing there. When you know you need to be kind to so-and-so, and you say, if nothing else, I'm just going to show them a little attitude. No, just be kind to them. But why? Because it's easy to be mean to everybody. Uh-oh, I may get an amen. It is. But you know what happens? They go home and they rest. And you know what we do? We go home and stew over it. And they get sleep and we don't. And you know what? The Lord knows it's better on your heart not to hold that stuff. That's a spirit trying to work in you. Why? Because it wouldn't bother you. You know, saved people, it bothers them. A lost person, you think that's going to bother a lost person? No. But that's that spirit of disobedience. You know what the best thing to do is obey. We sing the song, but it's biblical, trust and obey. But there's no other way to be happy. And Lord, you know where true happiness comes from?
That's right.
It's in fellowship and a close walk with the Lord. And I guarantee you, that spirit of obedience will lead you into grace and peace like this world cannot offer you. It really can't. We'll close that right there. Brother Mike, if you would close us up.